Let us join our hearts in prayer. O Holy Spirit, this evening shine into our hearts with your law and your gospel, that we may be brought to a knowledge of our sin and then led to the wonderful mercy that you have shown us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world for our sins. Help us always to love the proclamation of both his law and gospel, that we may someday be at the side of our Heavenly Father. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Dear fellow, redeemed, who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, kindness, and compassion belong to you in Christ alone. Amen. Our text for tonight, is the lesson for tonight, is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, the second chapter, verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would sanctify us through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was a brand new pastor, a congregation I was serving, the senior pastor, asked if I would help make some calls on people for a stewardship campaign that the congregation had decided to do. They wanted me to call on some members to see if I could meet with them and talk to them about an upcoming project the church was planning to expand. And there was one lady on my list that I hadn't actually met yet, at least in person. And I called her up and asked if we could meet. And she said, "Well, I don't want you to come to my house, but I'll come meet you at your office." So she did. She'd been rather delinquent, and as I saw her come in and start talking to me, I knew the last thing that she needed to hear me talk to her about was giving to the church. She looked distraught, and her eyes were swelling up with tears, and she said, "Before we talk about anything, I need to explain something to you about my life." She said, "I have just lived an awful life. I had a horrible upbringing, and I have just lived in such deep sin and trouble my whole life." And she said, "One of the reasons I don't go to church is it's just too hard for me to sit there with all of those good Christian people around me." And it was a wonderful opportunity for me to share the gospel with her and to talk to her about what church is really about, and that everybody else sitting in the pews is wicked and sinful too. But she was really struck down with her guilt and really had a hard time even seeing herself as being worthy to sit in the sanctuary with other Christians. But that's exactly where she belonged, and I tried to convince her of that over and over again. There's a natural tendency inside of us to measure ourselves against other people. And sometimes we can feel we don't measure up, but then sometimes there's a problem on the other side. Sometimes we think we measure up pretty good. Sometimes we think we're doing all right. When we consider some of the other people that we know, even people that claim to be Christian, maybe even right on this campus, maybe right in our families or our congregations, it's easy for us to start to measure each other back and forth, and we like to be in positions where, and in situations where the contest seems to favor us, where we seem to come out smelling a little bit better than other people. The context of this saying by Jesus, it's our text tonight, happened because Jesus was sitting and eating with many of the people that would be considered outcasts and the lowest, the most immoral in society. And some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law saw this and were questioning, well, why in the world would he be sitting with them? And so it's in that context that Jesus says these words to us. It shouldn't go unnoticed by us that that Jesus frequently shines a light in these type of situations on the religious people. He frequently shines a light on the moral people, the people who are living their lives, outwardly at least, quite upright. The ones that everybody else would look at and say, wow, it's quite a church-going person there, quite a fine religious believer. Quite often, Jesus, in these settings, shines the light on those individuals in order to expose, when it's inside of them, kind of a self-righteousness and an imagination in their minds that maybe spiritually they're pretty healthy before God, that they have evaluated themselves and consider themselves pretty healthy before God. It's pretty easy for me to fall into that thinking when I see some of the immorality in the world around me and say, God, I thank you, I'm not like that. I'm sure a much better Christian than that. And as a child of God, the devil loves to come at us and tempt us with thoughts like this. You're doing pretty well. Look at you. Just look at how devoted you are to Christ. Look at how devoted you are to his word. Just think how much you try to apply his commandments to your life. Just think of how you've dedicated things in your life to serve God. Wow. The church sure could use a lot more Don Molsteads. The church could sure use a lot more people like us. That's the kind of temptation that just puts us up on top of a pedestal. And it's very dangerous. There might be times when somebody who is actually maybe in their early 20s and physically very fit, and they sure look fit and they got ripped abs and everything else, might go into a doctor's office for an appointment, and the doctor, through an x-ray, determines that they actually have some tumors inside of them that are very dangerous, and might almost have a hard time convincing this young athletic person that there's something really wrong inside of them. Sometimes we can evaluate ourselves to be so healthy spiritually before God that it's kind of hard for us to remember the sins and the weaknesses that we have inside of us. But that's why Christians, even the most devout Christians, need to be confronted on an ongoing basis with the law of God. We need to be confronted with that law frequently. Years ago, one of my members came to me and said, you know, you keep telling us we're forgiven in Christ and that we're holy before God as Christians, and then you keep reminding me of all of my sins. Why do you keep doing that? And I said, well, that's so that we stay with Christ, so that we don't lose track of the fact that our relationship to God has to be entirely by his grace and through what he's done for us. Only those who feel and sense the curse of sin from the law of God are going to be thrilled to have the divine physician come to them through his word and sacrament with his precious grace and forgiveness. And only those who recognize that they still have this problem inside of them will cherish and treasure the medicine that we all need. I have a relative in my family who, in his early 20s, was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. And it was rather a shock for him to hear that. He was very fit and doing rather well. But his doctor told him, after they talked for a little bit about this, he said, ironically, this might actually extend your life to know that you have this illness. He said, why is that? He said, because you're going to pay more attention to your health. You're going to pay more attention to what you eat and what you do in order to keep your body healthier. And that's really the case for us too as Christians. The more we're aware of our illness, hopefully that will drive us even more to God's word and sacrament, where the Lord heals us of that and where this divine physician takes care of us. True spiritual health is achieved by having a daily awareness of just how spiritually unhealthy we are by ourselves, so that we stay in the care of this divine physician and always love the remedy that we have in his grace. Been in a large venue where there's been an event. It could even be a church service or maybe a concert or possibly even maybe you've been on an airplane where somebody suddenly faints or falls ill very quickly and just drops over. I've seen this a number of times. It's always fascinating to me to notice how quickly the medical personnel jump up, even before a word is spoken, and rush to the side. They get there faster than anybody else. This is what they are trained to do. This is what their passion is about. This is what their mission is in life. It's what their whole existence is about, is to take care of somebody and rush to their side. What a picture that is for us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the opportunities he has inside of his ministry that we see in the scriptures, where someone comes and admits that they have this problem of sin in their life, and how quickly he rushes with his grace, how quickly he goes to their side to bring them his mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And if you tonight, by the preaching of God's word, have been struck to your heart and reminded of your wickedness and sin inside of you too, he is right here through my mouth to rush at you with his grace and to declare unto you the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins. Tonight, if I were to blindfold you and walk you by the hand a few blocks away and take you into the Mayo Center over here and take you up onto one of the floors and have you suddenly take that blindfold off, it wouldn't take long for you to guess where you were and what this place is about. It would be very quickly obvious to you that it was there to make people healthy again. When you look around this sanctuary, and when you consider the way God operates here, through his word, through the pastoral ministry, through the sacraments that he gives us in his sanctuary, through the images that we have around us, isn't it obvious that this is a place for sick people? This is a place that's been designed for sinful people that struggle and are going to die someday, and that here in this place is where we get healthy by coming in contact with Christ, the great physician of our souls. May we always treasure that wonderful role that he plays in our lives through his word and sacrament. Amen.